Blog Talk Radio.
Shall break every chain. The conquering lion shall break every chain. Give him the victory again and again.
Yes, ma'am.
Brother Drew is on the road. And peace, Brother Mahal.
Peace. Greetings.
Okay. All right. Brother Drew on the road, huh? Okay, sister, we'll take it from here.
Yes, Shalom, Dewa. Can you hear me?
Shalom, Mark. Brother Mahal.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay.
I did this lecture a long time ago, and we're going to sit down like I started this lecture off. I said, when I was a little bitty boy, Brother Mahal, one week with my daddy's people, and 1 week with my mama's people, because I graduated from high school. That's the way my life went. The other children mm-hmm. didn't do that, but I did that. And we're going to sit on the divan, in case y'all don't know what a divan is. The divan back in that day, they call it a couch or whatever to call it now. We're going to sit on the divan with Big Mama, and we're going to analyze and go through how they taught me how to read. We're going to take that same method and analyze some words that we need to analyze that you think that you know the answer to these words, but you don't. The school system in America has been designed to make you think that you know something that you haven't studied. You don't know anything about it. And then it's also designed that after 5 decades, if you was an A student in something, then, hell, you don't remember a damn thing. Shit, I was an A student in algebra, but if my grandbaby asked me to work an algebra problem, I can't work it right now. This school system is built for you to forget what you was an A student at. This was my grandmother them tell me. They not lying. I didn't know what they were talking about at that time. And one, the key to esoteric knowledge is understanding how esoteric knowledge works. And esoteric knowledge comes out of a secret society. So when we go into secret societies and ask ourselves a question, is a secret society, which was 6th century Jews, Mesmerite Jews, that believed in the Western form of Western Rome's teaching of Jesus Krishna. So, in other words, Jesus. This Bible is rolled up under that. And see, in esoteric knowledge, which you call Masonism, fraternities, sororities, whatever you want to bring, they got many names now. But esoteric knowledge of the ancient, key is a sign that you'll find in every Masonic order. The reason the key is the number one thing to knowledge, esoteric knowledge, is that the key opens a door and it closes a door, meaning that knowledge is the same way. If you got the key, you open the door. You don't have the key,
right.
The door is closed. The door is closed for you to understand. If you weren't initiated a member of that Masonic order, the key was closed to you. But you could open the doors to the Lord if you had that. So in dealing with the, I found out when me and Cole was dealing with Ecclesiastes, in the Bible you have the book of Ecclesiastes. That's them. They wrote that, where they wrote most of it. If we go to the 10th chapter and the 5th verse, that is the most key verse in teaching knowledge. We don't learn how Big Mama taught me. Let's see what it says. It says, by these were the owls of the Gentile. Now, there's a period there, Big Mama say. You're supposed to stop your ass. You ain't supposed to keep on. The Gentile is the Germanic race of people in today's society. Now, the key word, the first key word in this sentence, and it has a comma behind it, meaning that you pause, divided in their lands. In other words, this Gentile, he was going to be divided in his own land because it was 12 tribes of them. Now, they got that karma there. Now, everyone after their karma. Now, that's the most important part that you could ever, ever see in esoteric knowledge. Torn means language. They was divided in their language, but they got them in the land, and their tongue was different.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning they would have different dialects, different tongues. Same tribe of people, but the dialects that they had came up with through mixing their seeds with each other.
Right, and also it's a reflection of their what you call in your classes schools of thought. When you have
right.
someone uttering something that's coming from their mind, language originates in the mind. When you hear someone saying something, you know how far off from the original mark they are. So this German is also classified, because I took German as a language formally also when I was stationed over there, and they tell you it's a Germanic language, which is Baltic. Actually, Germanic is different. Russian is considered Baltic. Greek is Baltic. So they tell you these classification of language, and I used to think about how are they living on one another's border. And their languages is as different as night and day. That's the part in my much younger years I used to be curious about. But if you go to Africa and other places, including some of us indigenous here to this hemisphere, you find that there's a commonality in our languages. So you find
right.
Ethiopian, Amharic, Ge'ez, Hebrew, Arabic, Talmudic, any of these other different tongues, the languages are similar by maybe 70 to 80%. You go and say something like what the guy says, a Lamborghini in Italian means something good. But if you're in Russia, it means trash can. So so to a Russian hearing that same word, you're driving garbage.
Right.
And that's the thing that has, and I'm like, they're on each other's borders. And these guys, languages as well, anyway, like I said, it's a reflection of night and day. And I didn't want to get too far without saying I did set my webpage for the definition of world crises. And so as you build up to that, I'm going to chime in and say, here's what it
okay.
says the definition of that is, because that's a real serious, because it's playing into what we're talking about. So go ahead, Dawah, as you were saying.
Okay. Then it says, after their families in their nation. And they give you the five children, the Japheth's children. When you read about Ham's children, it says the same thing. When you read about Shem, it will say the same thing. You're dealing with a great nation of people, and you didn't come from that nation of people. These people conquered you. You had to, this is the way we study it in this day and time. Not who you think or say you are. Who are you? You running around, and I'm a Hebrew Israelite, I'm a black Muslim, I'm a black Jew, I'm a black Gentile. That ain't who you are. I'm an African American. That ain't who you are. If you're an esoteric student, you know who you are, who self is. Let's look at this word world. A world is a group of countries and people.
Right.
In the earth. Now, most people think that the world is the earth.
It's not. Exactly.
It's not. Right, because see, I used to ask that question in class. I say, is the world the earth? People, everybody tell me, yeah.
Right.
It ain't.
Mm-hmm. I saw something with the definition of world crises, and they were talking about world first,
so,
and it said two or more nations. That's how they started out with the definition of world, huh?
We're gonna. This is a compound word, so we take one word to understand it. Word world got a whole lot of understanding when you get the crisis in it, and see, you had to realize that a world is a group of people with their school of thoughts of what they say they. Education system is, and what they say creation is, and what they say this is and that is, and what is right and what is wrong, what is moral. This is what a world is, and it's a group. And they're all different. And now I'm one of them the same thing.
Right.
Now, in the world, you will find a generation in this group. Now let's look at this word generation so we can get some good understanding. Generation, that means children being born.
Right. Now, it's a Greek word first. That's where the English word came from.
Right. So we ask ourselves a question. What is a generation? A generation comes into existence every 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
Every 12 years, a generation comes into existence.
Right.
Really, 11 years in today's society, because that's when who you call the little girl can have a baby. And start another generation of people.
Right. And did you know what the original Greek use of the word gener, which is where the word Genesis comes from, the word gener was tracked back to the male. So even in the New Testament, when you say in the genealogical table in Matthew and in the book of Luke, you got the word this person and it's a guy. He generated him. So the little trick, a little sidebar trick, is that in the book of Luke, it's got Joseph generated Jesus. It's in Greek, but in English, they play a game with you and say it was supposed. Well, they're not using a Greek word to say supposed. It's got the G-E-N-E-R word saying Joseph is generated Jesus, period. And Joseph is of the tribe of Judah, which they said Jesus is supposed to be of the tribe of Judah, the bloodline of David. And when you look at the conversation in Matthew, you've got Joseph being, as addressed by the quote-unquote angel, as being of the house of David. So you want to say Jesus is of the house of David, you better be looking to his father, Joseph, because Joseph is in the direct bloodline, according to that writing. He's in the direct bloodline of David, King David. And it's right there in front of you for everybody to see. But anyway, that word was used masculine. Today they're using this word for a generation being born. They pinned it on the woman. She doesn't create generations. She bears them, yes. She's the maintainer of your society, yes. But the child's ID in terms of where he comes from is that word genera is masculine, and it's a Greek word. That's kind of interesting. And in Hebrew, the word is zerat. So when it says Abraham's seed is what is the reason for Ishmael and Isaac being born, the words, the man is carrying the seed. The woman carries the egg. So here it is. You're speaking of Abraham's essence. For sperm, the word is zerat. So when people try to get and change this in the English concept, as you see what they've done to us in this construct, you see that they're shifting the storyline around. And it says, well, if you're going to quote somebody's original book, then you have to go back to the received words that was actually used. So you can see what the frame or schools of thought were when them verbs were used. So, you know, if you do the original, you can't trick somebody.
And here's the add to what you just brought up is that who we dealing with and concerned about their school of thought is an Anglo-Saxon who made it in 1776, changed his name to America. This is who we see. When we go to Anglo-Saxon, we can identify him through his generation, but when we go to America, we can't.
Right.
As Anglo-Saxon, then we see this. We can identify who school of thought, who we're talking about. We're talking about this school of thought, this certain group right here that you say you him. You say you a black Gentile. You say you him.
Right.
You a fool. With a generation of people, Co and I looked, and we saw that. I brought it to Co's attention that the school of thoughts every decade, which is 10 years,
mm-hmm.
in a generation, it changes.
Right.
And after 3 decades of this change that's been made by these children that's coming into existence, when they get a certain age, then this school of thoughts start changing from what it was original and goes into another form that is more rebellious against the latter day form.
Right. That's an overthrow of a culture.
I was just going to come to that. You call it a culture.
Right.
You call it a certain culture. Now, let's see how many worlds, if you're my age, that you've been through. And your world, I found this out, is guided by your music. The changing of the school of thought. It starts
right.
with the music. We started with they started with ragtime, but if you're my age, you know you can start with ragtime, the Roaring Twenties, the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, 2000s, and you can go through music and see how music changed the mind of the people thinking of where it is today.
Right.
See, this is what you can see for the world and a generation after a decade with a school of thoughts that this growing called a other school of thought, each one of the other schools of thought became obsolete, which was old fashioned. It was known as old-fashioned in our language. Didn't do that no more, that you did something else, but it was more wicked and caused a time of difficult trouble, danger, and economic crisis. That's the definition of crisis. Now we can deal with the crisis that has
right.
developed behind these bad over
right.
a that you and I done lived in, and it's done called social unrest.
Right, and you know, one of the definitions, Brother Dewar, of the word crises, first of all, the word crises is another, that's a Greek word also. Crises, which they don't share, they give it to you the long-handed way by giving you the details of what's involved in a crisis. Crises means, the pinnacle of the word means judgment has been pronounced.
Right.
Pertaining to a particular
situation, mostly situations. And now, and it says, and the matter sits in the hot seat. That's one of the original thoughts behind that Greek word crisis. And, you know, Stephen, George Stephanopoulos, who comes on the this week on ABC, and he uses words like that. So it was one day I heard him using this word crisis, and that's when I went to look it up. And I said, oh, my goodness, it's a Greek word. And I thought about how I heard him using the word. So when he says, and you put that title in there, world crises, you're talking all the cultures, everything that's involved, political, economic, finance, you name it, it's all sitting in the hot seat of judgment. And here's the kicker. When you use the word crises, you're already saying that a decision has been made, and now we're right. waiting for the outcome. That's the
right.
whole
yeah.
kicker to using this word crisis. So you go back to what you were saying, though. Go ahead.
Okay. You brought us up to world crisis. Now let's
mm-hmm.
ask ourselves a question. How many world crises is going on created by the worst world crisis, by the worst crisis known to mankind, is a pandemic.
Yeah.
It becomes a world crisis.
Right. Right.
As we speak right now.
Right.
That creates social unrest. Now let's look at what it first does.
Right.
We got five of these crises going on at the same damn time.
Right.
The first thing that a pandemic crisis that's worldwide creates is a crisis. The next thing that an economic crisis creates is anxiety. Anxiety is a mental illness that comes with seven different forms of it that create another seven different crises on your ass. So you got
mm-hmm.
all of these crises going on right now in America, all over the world, that you say is changing. Now you can understand where out of the culture came a dog and a fool and a bitch and a hoe. Why? Like I put it, like a blind man said in 1960, Charles said, the world is in a rank uproar, the danger zone is never goddamn where. He said, as you read in your paper, you will see exactly
mm-hmm.
what the world is doing to me. Goddamn it. Go,
yeah,
up the song.
I remember that song, too.
Flip side or hit the road, Jack. See, Danger Jones wasn't a hit, but Hit the Road, Jack was the hit on that song. But Danger
mm-hmm.
Zone, I started playing that. I played that so many times that my daddy told me if I played it, not to play that goddamn song in the house. No goddamn.
Right. And look at this word that you said also, Dewa. It's a compound word. Pandemic. Pan.
Right.
Is a Greek god, and is also a Saharan god.
Wait a minute. Pan is a Greek god that deals with what? Music.
Yes. Yes. So a song is being played out to us with this world events busting loose. And to have a world crisis or pandemic, it requires two major events to get it going. And we've got way more than two. So I'm just thinking about, as you're speaking, these words you're using, pandemic. Endemic is more like along the lines of something to befall you, or it's pertaining to you, or it will stick to you. I know that by the IC added on to the end of the word.
Right. But when we look at deep into words like Big Mama Nell what my big mama taught me, I look deep off into words like this, and you can see a whole lot if you just take your time and
mm-hmm.
put these words back down into existence, and you can understand what the problem is today. You in a one hell of a crisis right now. You got social unrest between two political parties, the Democrat and Republican.
Right.
Which, according to the Constitution, don't even fucking exist.
Yeah, right. The register, the federal register.
The Constitution is very clear about political parties. It do not make any provision for a political party other than the federal party.
Right.
But you got,
because what does it talk about? A more perfect union. How you're doing that with all these political. Now, it talks about the three branches. We know that. Okay?
Right.
We know about the three branches. That's fine. When you have, if you're talking about, is this defined, checks and balances, and what each of these branches do. We understand that. That's not the issue. The issue is these other things, and you also had what they fought very hard to put down was the Communist Party. That was really
right.
big back in the 1930s up to the 40s, and the neo-Nazi Party. That was really big in this country, too.
Remember, they accused Martin Luther King of belonging to the Communist Party. The Communist Party didn't die down in the South. The South was blown to the Communist Party because of the Scottsdale
right.
War in the South.
Right.
That movement died down to the '60s. The Khrushchev offered old man Elijah Muhammad $3 million
right.
in 1932 to join
right.
him. And he wouldn't. And $3 million in 1932 was a lot of moolah rouge.
As a matter of fact, Khrushchev said, and one of the things that Ronald Reagan, when he was campaigning for the one guy who was running for president way back in the day, this is not doing when Reagan was about to run for president, he made a statement. He said, you can have your freedom right now if you would only surrender. You can have it. He said, you can have it at the blink of an eye. You can have world peace at the blink of an eye. He says,
right.
So Khrushchev and them said, and this is a statement he made. He said, Khrushchev said that when the time comes for America's surrender,
right.
not one single shot will ever have to be fired because it will happen from within and the people will willingly surrender.
And let's look at that. Let's look at this. I'm glad you brought that up because let's look at this. Was Khrushchev lying? Or was he telling the truth?
He was telling the truth.
And wait a minute. When he said that, they laughed at him and said he was a lie. This
mm-hmm.
is 2020. Russia has two submarines, nuclear submarines. See, the next war will be fought nuclear if it be
yeah.
fought. Russia
right.
got two nuclear submarines. They can put one on the East Coast and one on the West Coast.
Right.
America, radar, and sonar, you can't detect these submarines. They build these when they weren't supposed to have been building this during the Cold War,
right.
during the 80s.
Right. They're talking about the SALT treaty, SALT 2 and SALT 3.
They weren't supposed
yeah.
to be building these submarines, but they got them now. They can put one on the East Coast, one on the West Coast, and Putin.
Right.
Can call Trump.
Right. Well, you know, Dwight, that's what that movie, The Hunt for Red October, was about. Because
let
that movie, he said in the movie that was a first strike weapon. Preemptive. It was a first strike weapon, and that was in the 80s.
Wait just a minute.
Yeah.
Putin can call Trump and tell him, if you don't surrender, we will nuke you. Now, he has to surrender. without a fire, a shot. That can happen mm-hmm. any goddamn time. Those two submarines been in existence for the last 5 years. When they mm-hmm. put it out 5 years ago, I talked about this. You sitting up here talking that shit about Russia and politics. Russia, what Khrushchev said, the 31, I think he said that, made that statement. He can do it now.
Right. And he made that statement at the UN.
Right.
He said that if Russia, then they were called the Soviet Union. If the Soviets and the Americans or the West ever got into it, but he was talking about the U.S. He said they would bury the U.S. And he was talking about using those nukes.
Right.
He said they would bury this place. So that was nothing to joke at. Yes, sir.
They're talking about America is the greatest country and all that. Boy, that's propaganda.
It's all propaganda.
You want to know something else?
Mm-hmm.
You got this social unrest with the government, with the federal government. You know why you got social unrest with the federal government? It's because they said they take over running the United States and do away with state constitutions. And you call it voter suppression because the government is telling you they finna get rid of political parties. This is why Abbott's tell your ass that you have one box to vote in for county.
Right.
And you raised in hell about voter suppression. The federal government is finna take back over running the United States because you ignorant-ass Democrats and Republicans. It's going to become a mob form of damn government.
Right. That's in the protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion, that it would be nothing more, the government would be nothing more than mob, a big mob, no more than street thugs. And that's what we got going on.
It's a turn to a mob form of government. And who is the mob? And so you don't hear that word no more. Mob.
No.
And mafia. You see, mafia and the mob was two different groups. But see, you had to, if they say you a mob form of government, you had to know who the goddamn mob was. And what era and time was the mob in control, so they was at one time.
Mm-hmm.
Belonged to the mob and who belonged to the mafia, because the mafia was different from the mob.
And check out these two words, Dewa. Check out these two words, mafia. So take the M off. The M means that word came from another source. So fear, and you have fiat. We say in English, fiat. Well, you know what something, when they tell you that something is fiat, it's not real. So it's in the appearance and under the guise of something. That's why they say the law that is running this country is not the real law. It's not constitutional law. It's not any of that. It is called prima facie law. And the guy, William Kunstler, or one of those big-time attorneys who had defended Patty Hearst. Remember back during the day during that bank robbery? So Patty Hearst, well, this guy wrote a book on different types of laws that's used to run this country. The most of the law that's used to run this country, this guy put in a hardbound book called, and it was called prima facie law. Prima facie law means it appears to be so until it is challenged. Then it becomes that which the two said parties agree upon. Now you see how to get the plea bargain in there. Because somebody's going to try to walk away with some kind of benefit out of this. So it's not real law. It appears to be so. So fear is fiat. Mafia.
Yeah. And see, if you listen to a lot of words that Trump say, he let you know. He say fear at war with China.
Mm-hmm.
When he made that statement, he wasn't lying. But you had to know what kind of war that it was going on. Was an economical
right.
war. An economical war. America getting an economical war with China, you're going to lose. You can't win. It's no win for you. You can't win because for the simple reason, in 1990, they set up in 1990 where you couldn't win because they took Beijing and Singapore and ran them from the metropolis to act up by the U.S. 10% of China was ran like America, exactly like America. That's where you find McDonald's and all the America.
Right. And you might want to move up a little bit closer to your mic or something. It's kind of fading in and out a little bit.
Yeah.
Most
okay,
of the time,
yeah,
you're
yeah.
pretty clear.
Yeah. Yeah. See,
there you go.
See the 1990, they put 10%, what they said 10% of China, up on the a capitalist society. Man, I don't like the thing about it. This 10% was backed up by the yen. And anytime
mm-hmm.
you want to make a market in America, because they're the only ones that buy and sell something, if they quit buying and selling and using the American dollar, then here comes the stock market. It's going to dive and dip. And they control the market. And see, they don't tell you this shit. You have to study this shit. This is what's
mm-hmm.
going on in this economical war, and ain't a damn thing that America can do about it because the only thing that back your money up is the United States. Your money is only good in the United States. It ain't good no damn where else. You on world on world marketing. See, get world economic that form of economic. You got it. That's what's going on right now, and the people don't realize it. Well, you too busy calling Trump a goddamn fool,
right?
And don't understand
right.
that all of this shit is finna cease because when you ask yourself a question. You've been talking about the Illuminati. When the Illuminati put in the sign of the great Illuminati first, been operating. They operated for the state. They finna take back the states, running the states. They weren't called states, they was called countries. The federal is over Council of Foreign Relations, so your state would go back to how it was in Continental Congress to a country, not a state. And each state
right, exactly.
would have a governor that would represent that country at the UN. They finna
right.
come to that damn system, brother. And
right, and that started
vote.
To happen.
Vote.
That started to happen in the early 1800s.
Ain't but one damn party, and that's the federal party. And everybody,
right.
all ain't gonna be no borders. Ain't gonna be nothing but that debit card and credit card. And if the government ain't taking care of your ass, you got to work for them. I'm just fortunate he's taking care of me. That's point blank. If the government ain't taking care of you, you're going to have to work for them. And they ain't going to be bullshitting with your ass either, because you ain't going to be able to buy and sell, and they're going to kill your ass.
Because they're already using the title Useless Eaters, and they're already saying they got to get 7.5 billion people off the whole planet. They're serious about people being dead. I mean, I just can't make it more plainer than that. They're really, really serious about this, and people don't seem to. Some people, I think, they don't
they may know about this and they don't care. So it's about the party life. Try to enjoy. But look at this. COVID-19 is put a kink in that program, and they're ready for a lockdown number two.
Right.
Some countries, they haven't hit here yet, but some countries are already rolling the lockdown, doing it right now. They're doing it right now. And quite a few folks, pale-skinned, around the world are in a state of panic because they already know what this is going to go to. They know the capabilities of their people. If their own kind has resolved to get rid of most of them, the rest of us is in trouble because
what?
Their own kind already know that this man is absolutely caveman in his tactics. If he's going to get something, he's going to get it.
You ain't in his bloodline. The people
no.
that is in control of the world, you ain't of their bloodline. That's the
mm-hmm.
number one thing that your ass got to remember. So that means that you have no rights. You only have the rights to do what they tell you to do. That's your
That's
goddamn
right.
right. And if
mm-hmm.
if you don't understand what they talking about, they're going to kill your ass, point blank. Simple.
Right. And that's why they gave you their language so that, one, they can control your school of thoughts because they got you under a spell, language, spell.
Right.
How do you spell that? Okay? So they've got you. And by the way, it's worth mentioning this word. Gospel, as you know, is a compound word. So gos is supposed to mean good. Okay, the rest of the word is spell. Okay, when you look up the definition of spell or gospel, its definition in a dictionary, regular dictionary, says an intentionally untold, untrue story that is told. Never forget that definition. The story is not true. And yes, they sold it to you. They told it to you. The greatest lie ever sold on earth. And we're in the kitchen again, Dua, drinking that Kool-Aid.
You see, you're an old muffin can of worms, Maha. Because
mm-hmm.
for a simple reason, we asked ourselves a question. When did gospel music come in the Negroes that was colored people's community? Because, see, I was there looking at it when it come in. I'm a goddamn
mm-hmm.
musician. See, I was looking at it when it come in. So when it came in 1960 with a sister named James.
Right. And before that, we sang songs different than that, which was called Negro spiritual.
Let me finish this.
There you go. Yes, sir.
In 1964, this sister took a Fender Rhodes piano and retuned it to 440, and put it on 440 and took it off of Mill C.
Mm.
He tuned this and called the music being played almost gospel music. Him and the boys, Donald Vail, O'Neill Twins, I'm calling names, goddamn it, Walter Hawkins, every last one of them was bisexual, gay, and lesbians. I know.
Mm.
I was, goddamn it, and some with the James Cleveland Workshop Choir. So this ain't no hearsay that you goddamn getting. This is goddamn it what I was looking at. This is
mm-hmm.
how gospel music got in. It started in 1950 with Tommy Dorsey, when Tommy Dorsey took the hymn, which was played by Triads, and put Flatted Seven in it, and Inez Andrews and Ray Charles made it. Back then, what they called Tommy Dorsey's style of music, it evolved into gospel music. Then it evolved into contemporary jazz and contemporary and hip hop, your spiritual
mm-hmm.
music. the music that you play in your church house. That in my big mama's church house, you couldn't bring no damn instrument that you played in a goddamn nightclub in 1960. In no black church, in no Negroes that was colored people's church. If your ass wasn't sanctified, you couldn't bring no instruments in their church. You could have an organ and a piano. And wasn't no men playing. It was women playing. Because at that day and time, if you played a piano with a man, you was a sissy. I'm telling
wow.
you what the goddamn hell I know. I was there. This ain't no hearsay, Brother Mahal. This is what I was looking at, participating in. I ain't
yeah.
got no goddamn
wow.
amnesia. And see, you can see that stuff where we call ourselves soul sisters and soul brothers. Then my grandchildren call themselves bitches, hoes, dogs, and fools. What are you saying? And that goes right through that thoughts and create another world. See, I came out of a minion world. I came out of the world of soul music. I came out of the world of hymns. I came out of the world of classical music. I came out of the world of ragtime music. I came out of all of these worlds of music. I lived them and sung the music and played the music of all of these different words. The only world I ain't got down damn hip hop world. I can't stand it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's the only music I ain't played. The rest of the music of the world and the ancient world, I done played it to the maximum degree of maxtivity. You can't tell me shit that I'm talking about. I lived it. I lived
yeah.
it. I sit and watch every decade, every 10 years. I can watch and go right down the line. And not only me can do that, hell, your ass can do it too if you sit down and goddamn think. How did this shit get out of order? Well, it got out of order with the Democratic Party with liberal thinking. It started in the white community. There's a beatnik in the 1950s, H.R. Blatt. In the 60s, he called himself the Flower. That was a hippie. In the 60s, 80s, he called and now he calls himself the elite. It started with a jitterbug that became, goddamn it, a hustler, a pimp, and then he became fly first. Because in 65, see, I was fly. But in 1969, I was goddamn super fly.
Wow.
It's so goddamn.
Oh, Brother DeWalt, before
my woman was called a hoochie mama that could pop her coochie. So in the 70s, when your little baby started talking about they could pop their coochie, you didn't stop it because you was the children of a super fly that was a hoochie mama.
Yeah. Wow. For the listening audience, you, because of next week, next Saturday, I think it's next Saturday, the 8th, I think.
Yeah, you got it.
In continuation of some of what we're talking about, I'm going to be dealing with the esoteric use of language. I'm not teaching a language, but discussing certain words that are key words that causes triggers and mountain slides in one's mind and why they need to pay better attention to what's being said as well as what they should say. So it'll be along those lines of the esoteric lines of use of language, just a general conversation on what that's going to be about. So that's what I'm talking about next week.
Well, text that to me, Brother Mahal.
I will.
All righty. And Shema Yahweh, Yah, Abin Yah, Ikah, Kamaita Yah. I hope you learned something today about a world. Until next Saturday.
Until next Saturday.